I told you maybe today a quick sermon, and after hearing that gospel reading, maybe you want me to preach a real quick one here today. This is one of those Sundays that preachers dread, I must say. But we'll just jump right in. You know, when you open the editorial page of the Daily News Record, I think one of two things is about to happen. You're either going to pump your fist and say, "That's darn right," or your blood pressure is about to rise, okay? Either way, you know where they stand. This is going to be real here today, so stay with me. You know, when you turn on the TV and you hear President Obama talking, you might be called to say that's darn right, or you may be called to start throwing things at your television screen. Same goes for Speaker Boehner. You know, on your right, you might say, you've got the Sean Hannitys and the Bill O'Reillys and let's see who else, the Ted Cruzes of this society talking. And my right, on your left, you've got the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chris Matthews's and the Rachel Maddow's. And if you don't know all these people, that's okay. But as I mention these names, maybe you're starting to get a little bit angry, a little bit frustrated, because when we hear some of these people, and for maybe some of us, it's some of them, and maybe for others of us, it's a different group of them, the anger can start to build really quickly deep inside of us. And we just want to pull somebody through the editorial page, whoever's writing that letter to the editor, or pull somebody through the TV screen or through our computer screen, that person who's always posting political rhetoric to our Facebook wall or our coworker or our friend. And they just make us so angry sometimes. We can't understand them. What did I just read? If you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. If you insult a person, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you'll be liable to the hell of fire. I think Jesus means it here today. But there's people in this world that just get our blood boiling. And there's a lot of folks that we can't understand that make us angry. And it's going to stay real here, so just bear with me. But, you know, for some of us, maybe it's those conservatives who believe that a higher minimum wage will just create more unemployment. Or maybe it's the liberals who keep going on about how 7.15 or 7.25, whatever it is, isn't enough. Maybe it's those immigrants who come and are moving into neighborhood after neighborhood and whose businesses and churches are filling empty storefront after empty storefront. Maybe it's those folks who are buying up old farmland and turning it into subdivisions. Are they truly our neighbors, or do they just get our blood going? Maybe it's those people who are marching for stricter gun laws in reaction to another young person killed because somebody whipped out a gun in a street corner argument. Or maybe it's those who are marching to support gun rights, knowing how they love to take their kids out and teach them how to hunt in these beautiful mountains. Maybe it's those who are condemning the decision a couple days ago by the judge in Norfolk to strike down Virginia's ban on gay marriage. Or maybe it's those who are celebrating that decision. It's getting real, right? Across the ocean, there's a story that I've been paying attention to that's been receiving hardly any attention in our society. And in the Central African Republic, Christians have been killed by Muslim rebels for quite some time now. And maybe that makes us angry, but are we also angry that Christians now have turned the tables and are murdering Muslim men, women, and children in the public squares in that country? Are all these people to us? Or do they just make us angry to shift focus because Jesus moves quickly through this teaching today? He also is talking about other people that are hard for men in his own day to recognize as people, and that's the half of the human race that happened to be female, right? How about the wife in Jesus' day who was considered hardly more than property passed from father to husband, complete with a dowry to offset the expense of the new husband in supporting her? A husband could simply discard a wife like an old pair of socks he had worn out and was done with. And if he did that, she had no freedom, no property rights, no protection. No safety net, hardly any way to support herself except, well, maybe something we don't want to talk about. And perhaps that's why what Jesus meant when he said that divorcing a woman meant that it would cause her to commit adultery. Is the wife a person in Jesus' day? How about the model gazing out from the magazine ad? Is she just an image to stare at, or is she a person complete with her own thoughts, her own voice, her own place in the kingdom? Or is she just someone who is there, an object to be used by others to fulfill their own selfish desires? All of these are people, but it can be hard for us to recognize that, to remember that. And you know, as Jesus said, we can probably avoid killing them, although tragically we hear the news that even that law is broken in our midst, in our society. But if we can keep that law good for us, we're not murderers. Men, although the statistics are worse, I believe that, you know, we can refrain from committing adultery. But the kingdom of God is so much more than the absence of murder. It is so much more than the absence of adultery. It is more than men and women simply honoring their commitments. See, Jesus is not just talking about us coloring inside the lines. He's calling us to live as if we didn't need those lines at all. I'll spend a moment to talk about these new laws that Jesus seems to be giving about marriage. But the key is that they are not new laws at all. You see, Jesus is radically elevating the place of women and of wives in his society to that of an equal partner to the husband, a person to be honored and respected. And because men held all the cards as far as marriage law goes back then, Jesus put the responsibility firmly upon men not to simply cast wives out, but to honor their commitment. And since thankfully women have a much more equal but not yet totally equal place in society, divorce is no longer so much about men discarding people that they were done with. Today, divorce is much more about whether or not the relationship is still alive. And tragically, sometimes marriages can die. And when they do, I believe that divorce can be the beginning of resurrection in that tragic situation. But likewise, Jesus is calling men to see women walking down the street, or for us in our day, the magazine model, to see them more than just someone to stare at, but as a person with insights and ideas, with talents and dreams, not someone to simply lust after, but an equal sister in the kingdom, an equal disciple of the Lord. And it is not her fault that some men cannot see her that way. And so Jesus puts the onus on the men to transform their vision. It's a higher calling than simply coloring within the lines. Jesus is not asking for us to be a society of legalistic rule followers. He is not drawing more squiggly lines for us to color within, no. Jesus wants us to see every other person in our midst precisely as a person. You see, we would tear the body of Christ apart. We would tear it limb from limb because a severed member of the body, a person disconnected from us, is just a them, just an other. And history has shown us time and again that human beings can do terrible things to people that are defined simply as a them, simply as an other, not someone in relationship. So Jesus is calling us to remember who they are. He is remembering, to change that word a little bit, remembering the body of Christ. He is putting his broken body back together. See, the kingdom that Jesus talks about, it's the eyes to see past any barrier and find the beating heart, not of some other, but of another member of the body. The prophet Jeremiah had prophesied the Messiah, saying, "I will write a new covenant with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. I will put a new law within them," he He said, and I will write it on their hearts. Laws on tablets cannot make you love someone, much less someone that you don't understand, someone that makes you so angry, someone whose views are incomprehensible to you. Laws cannot make you love them. And laws cannot make you love God, but the cross can. See, there was only one way Jesus could put his law within you and write it on your heart, and that was to come and put his body in your path, to put himself next to you, knowing that we would not see him as a person. Jesus didn't just try to follow a rule. He actively sought life for you, abundant life and eternal life for us who can be so unlovable. And because he saw each one of us as a person, not just as a sinner to be dealt with, but as a beloved child, you are free to love as he loves. To look at that person down the street or across the world or across the political aisle as another member of the body, another beloved child of God. With this love and with these eyes, we can see that unchecked anger is more dangerous than a single murder. That in the ups and downs of relationship, rules are not enough. That reconciliation and relationship between us are harder than mere tolerance. This kind of relationship requires sacrifice and risk and trust. This is the love of Christ that guides us where no law can take us. And I believe firmly that it is the only love that will keep this world from burning to the ground. It's why I'm here today. This law of love is the kingdom of God. We can imagine that kingdom. It's the place where people with different views on immigration and abortion and gun control and the minimum wage and gay marriage, it's where all these people come together around this table on their knees to confess what they need to be forgiven for, to ask for forgiveness and reconciliation. The kingdom is where the relationship and the person comes first. And then we do talk about the issues because the issues are about people in the end. I believe that God is remembering us, one to each other, and to those folks who are out there in this world. I believe that God is putting someone in your path. And maybe that's a long-lost family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's that cousin who keeps posting political rants on your Facebook wall. Whoever it is, maybe God is leading you to a relationship you didn't think was possible. Maybe God is leading us to neighbors we didn't know we had. But I am here before you today because I believe that the church is the only place, hardly, in this society where the Bill O'Reillys and the Rachel Maddows of this world break bread together on their knees. There is more place at this table. Amen.